The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, you curious listener, to the deep dive. Today, we're peeling back the layers on something incredibly fundamental, something you probably remember as just a poster from your high school chemistry class. The periodic table of elements.
But it's so much more than that. We promise this is going to be far more interesting than memorizing atomic weights.
Right, because we're diving into Eric R. Sari's book, The Periodic Table, a very short introduction, and his whole argument is that this chart is, well, it's the single most important organizing principle in all of chemistry.
It is. When you look at it, you're not just looking at a list. You're looking at a deep underlying natural law about how matter itself is built. It's almost like the universe's own summary page.
I love that, the universe's summary page. Okay, so our mission today is to kind of shatter that static image of the classroom chart. Sari's whole point is that the table wasn't just discovered by one person in a flash of genius.
No, not at all. It's a dynamic, evolving concept. It was born from a very human process. I mean, a century-long struggle of observation, debate, and honestly, some pretty stubborn intuition.
So we're tracing the story of how we wrestled with total chaos and ended up with this beautiful, coherent system for the building blocks of everything.
Exactly.
And the person guiding us through this story is Eric R. Sari. So for a topic that seems so purely scientific, why is he the right person to tell this story? What's his angle?
Well, Sari is a leading authority on the history and the philosophy of chemistry. He lectures at UCLA, and this book is basically a distillation of his life's work. He's not just looking at the facts. He's looking for the meaning behind them.
And that's the key difference, isn't it? A normal textbook tells you the what. Sari connects chemistry, the history of science, and the philosophy of science. And
precisely. A textbook just gives you the clean, final answer. Sari dives into the messiness. He understands the chemistry, but he's also researched all the competing historical claims, and he gets into the deep philosophical questions.
Like what kind of questions?
Well, for example, the idea of reductionism. You know, can you really boil all of chemistry down to just the laws of physics?
Right. If we know all the physics, do we even need chemistry anymore? It's a huge debate.
It is. And his approach lets him present the periodic table as this rich cultural artifact. He tells the whole story, the science, the history, and why scientists are still arguing about its perfect form today.
So let's talk about the book's journey. Sari is essentially deconstructing the chart to show us the intellectual adventure behind it. He's turning it from a list you memorize into a real narrative.
He is, and it's a powerful chronological journey. It starts in the mid-19th century, which was a time of total chaos for chemists. They'd found dozens of elements, but has no clue how to organize them.
It sounds like they were standing in a massive lumber yard. They had all the pieces to build a house, but all the wood was just dumped randomly on the ground. No blueprint.
That is a perfect analogy. So the first half of the book is all about that search for a blueprint. You see these early attempts, these crucial steps like Dobereiner's triads and Newland's octaves.
Right. And then it all culminates with Dmitri Mendeleev in 1869.
Yes. But then the book makes this major shift. The story doesn't end there because Mendeleev's table was based purely on observation. The second half is about the why.
Ah, the theoretical explanation.
Exactly. The focus moves to the 20th century. You get Henry Moseley's work on atomic structure, and then the ultimate explanation, quantum mechanics. It's that classic scientific progression from understanding what happens to finally understanding why it happens.
So the book's goal really is to show how we took the universe's building blocks and created this coherent, predictive system that reveals its fundamental architecture. It's incredible when you think of it that way.
It really is monumental.
Okay, let's go back to that 19th century struggle for order. Sari really makes it clear this was not some sudden flash of insight. It was a long, messy process.
It was. And the very first hint of numerical pattern came from a guy named Johann Dobereiner. He noticed what he called triads, groups of three elements like chlorine, bromine, and iodine.
What was special about them?
The middle element's properties, including its atomic weight, were almost a perfect average of the other two.
Yeah.
It was primitive, sure, but it was the very first sign that numbers were dictating the chemistry.
A tiny crack of light in the chaos. Then you get John Newland's and his law of octaves, which I know got him into some trouble.
Oh, he was publicly ridiculed. He suggested that chemical properties repeat every eighth element, and he made an analogy to a musical scale.
And the scientific community just laughed at him.
They thought it was amateurish, silly, they dismissed him completely. It just shows you, doesn't it, how many revolutionary ideas get shot down just because they're wrapped in a strange comparison.
Absolutely. Seri uses that as a perfect example of how science actually works. It's iterative. It's often unappreciated at the time.
Exactly. Newlands was eventually proven right, in a sense, but his story shows the path to discovery is rarely a straight line.
And that path leads us to the huge breakthrough. Dmitri Mendeleev in 1869, what was it about him? What was the core of his genius?
It really came down to two things: confidence and his willingness to trust chemical behavior over the hard numbers. When he was arranging the elements, if the strict order of atomic weight didn't fit the chemical pattern, he'd just swap them.
So he reversed tellurium and iodine, for example.
He did. He basically said, the pattern is right, so your measurements must be wrong. That takes incredible guts for a scientist.
To declare the physical data wrong because your pattern is so strong? Wow.
But his truly audacious move, the one that cemented his legacy, was leaving gaps. He left empty spaces for elements that hadn't been discovered yet.
And he didn't just leave gaps, he predicted their properties.
With astonishing accuracy, he predicted ICA aluminium, which became gallium, ICA boron, which became scandium, and ICA silicon, which became germanium.
And when those were discovered, that was it. That was the moment the periodic system went from just being a neat filing system to a powerful, validated scientific theory.
It secured its place forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should mention Lothar Meyer. He developed a very similar system at the exact same time.
So why do we all know Mendeleev's name and not Meyer's?
Because Meyer lacked Mendeleev's prophetic courage. He saw the patterns, but he wasn't willing to make those bold predictions about the unknown. And prediction, well, prediction is what makes a theory truly powerful.
Okay, so fast forward to the 20th century. The table is a chemical masterpiece, but the why is still missing. Physics steps in to provide the foundation.
This is where Henry Moseley comes in, around 1913. Up until then, everyone was using atomic weight, which was known to be a little flawed.
And Moseley found the real ordering principle.
He did. Using X-ray spectroscopy, he proved that atomic number, the number of protons in the nucleus, is the true absolute ordering principle. That one shift resolved all the little lingering problems in Mendeleev's table.
It's just so tragic that he died so young in World War I. His work was so fundamental.
A huge loss. But his work set the stage for the deepest why of all, the quantum mechanical explanation. This is Niels Bohr in quantum theory.
Okay, let's break this down. For anyone who hasn't thought about quantum physics in a while, what's the simple version of why the pattern repeats?
Think of an atom as having layers, like concentric highways around a city center. These are the electron shells. And each highway can only hold a certain number of cars or electrons.
The S, P, D, and F orbitals.
Yep. Periodicity is just a direct result of the repeating pattern of those outer shell electrons. Every time you start filling a new outer highway, that element has just one car in that lane.
And that single lonely electron dictates everything.
It dictates the element's reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
Because that outer shell pattern repeats period after period, the chemical behavior has to repeat.
So all the alkali metals, lithium, sodium, they're all in group one because they all have that one vulnerable electron in their outermost shell, just desperate to react with something.
That simple quantum pattern is what dictates all of their chemistry. It's beautiful.
And Seri makes it clear that even with all this understanding, the table is still a living document, right? It's not finished.
Not at all. We have Glenn Seaborg, who pioneered the synthesis of transuranic elements, all those heavy elements at the bottom of the table. We're still creating new, unstable elements in labs.
But even beyond that, there are still fundamental arguments about where to even put some of the oldest elements.
This is where the fun philosophical debates come in. Seri highlights these ongoing controversies like, where do you put hydrogen?
It has one outer electron, so group one, right?
By its structure, yes. Mm-hmm. But chemically, it sometimes behaves like a halogen, which would put it in group 17. And then there's helium.
Okay, what's wrong with helium?
Its electron configuration says it should be in group two. But its properties, it's the most inert, unreactive, noble gas there is. It has to be in group 18.
So it's an argument between classifying based on physical structure versus observed properties.
It is. And that's a perfect microcosm of a much larger philosophical debate in science. And this is where Seri really gets into the big takeaways from the whole story.
Okay, so let's start with the first one, which I think is a great antidote to the lone geniuses myth we love to tell.
Right. The first big idea is that science is a cumulative and human process. It wasn't one genius. It was this messy, gradual evolution. Dubereiner, Newlands, Meyer, Mendeleev. They were all building on and competing with each other.
And the takeaway for us is that incremental progress, even the failed attempts, they're not just distractions, they're essential parts of getting to the breakthrough.
Absolutely. The second theme is the power of prediction as a scientific test. Mendeley's predictions are what elevated the table from a neat classification scheme into a real validated theory.
If your model can tell you about things you haven't seen yet, you know you found something real, not just something convenient.
Exactly. The third theme is the interplay between empiricism and theory. The periodic table worked for 50 years. Chemists knew what would happen, but they had no idea why.
That's amazing. So the observation, the empirical law, came decades before the deep theoretical explanation from quantum mechanics.
Which shows how science works. You often figure out the what long before you get to the why.
And finally, that big philosophical idea, reductionism.
Yeah. Seri argues that even though quantum mechanics explains the table structure, chemistry still has its own autonomy. You can't just reduce all of chemistry down to physics. Concepts like acidity or molecular shape are too complex. Chemistry is its own essential layer of reality.
Seri pulls out some really memorable ideas that capture the essence of this whole discovery.
He does. The first is a huge claim. He says the periodic table is comparable to Darwin's theory of evolution.
Wow. That's a big statement. So he's saying it didn't just organize things, it unified a whole domain of nature under one single explanatory idea.
It's the unifying law of matter, just as evolution is the unifying law of life. Another key idea gets to the heart of scientific creativity. Mendeley's genius lay not in organizing the known, but in recognizing what was missing.
I love that. It's about seeing the pattern so clearly that you can also see the empty spaces, the negative space. That's a profound level of understanding.
Then there's the filing system metaphor. He says the periodic table is nature's own filing system. But unlike human filing systems, it predicts what should be filed where.
So it's not arbitrary. Our systems can change. This one reflects a fundamental necessity. It's destiny.
And the final one, from quantum mechanics, is the ultimate validation. Quantum mechanics didn't just explain the periodic table. It revealed why no other arrangement was possible.
That just gives me chills. It showed that the pattern we found wasn't an accident. It was baked into the rules of the universe from the very beginning.
Yeah. And Seri's work isn't just a history lesson. It actually gives you a toolkit for thinking that you can apply every day.
Okay, so let's get practical. How can you, listening now, apply this way of thinking?
Well, the first is just systemic thinking. The table is the ultimate example. An element's position predicts its behavior. So if you're looking at a complex system, like a business team, look for patterns and relationships. If you can identify the properties of one successful person in a role, you might be able to predict the behavior of someone else in a similar role.
Using patterns to forecast behavior. I like that. What about when the data is confusing?
This goes back to balancing data and intuition. Remember Mendeleev. He trusted the overarching pattern, the law, even when the accepted data seemed to contradict it.
So the tip is, have the courage to question a data point if it violates a strong, coherent framework you've built from experience. Sometimes the pattern is smarter than the measurement.
Exactly. And finally, on a practical level, the book gives you a foundational understanding of all modern technology.
Right. You start to get the why behind everything.
Totally. You understand why lithium-ion batteries work so well. Lithium is in group one. It's desperate to give away that electron. Or why copper is a great conductor. It all comes back to that electron structure, explained by periodicity.
What surprised me most, I think, is seeing that old classroom chart not as a static grid, but as this dynamic human story. It's a monument to our curiosity, to our struggle to find order in chaos. It really is one of humanity's greatest intellectual achievements.
For me, the enduring insight is that paradigm shift. The table isn't just a convenient human invention. It's the discovery of nature's own organizational principles. It confirms the power of our reason to actually comprehend the deepest structures of the universe.
A truly stunning conclusion for what most of us think of as just a simple chart. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ecotra Foundation.